Good morning, and happy Father's Day. Well, thank you. I'll take that. Well, you'll want to take your outline out of your program so you can follow along with the message this morning. Just recently, I became a grandfather, as most of you know, and my son-in-law, Garrett, he became a father, and there's my grandson, Jamie, wearing his favorite t-shirt. And he has reminded me again of the necessity of a father in a child's life. I was stunned by these statistics as I read them this past week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, fatherless kids account for 63% of youth suicides. Fatherless kids. 90% of youth runaways. 71% of all high school dropouts, fatherless kids. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions. 75% of patients in substance abuse centers. 75% of rapists from fatherless homes. 85% of fatherless kids exhibit behavioral disorders. No question, kids need a father. Dad, you are irreplaceable. Your presence in the home is life-giving. It is priceless. And yet, for you kids with single moms, maybe your dad isn't around, maybe you've never even met your dad, you're not lost. You're not abandoned. You are not alone. I know of young people in that situation at Stony Creek Church whom we've taken under our wing. And I know of men here at Stony who have been fathers to the fatherless, who have stepped up to the plate to be a dad to those without a dad. I know kids ministry leaders and youth ministry leaders here at Stony who have stepped into that role of being role models and confidants to fatherless young men and women. After all, the church is a family, is it not? Amen. This is a high call and a high privilege that we have as a church family. Yet today, I want to talk about something even more important, more crucial, more life-giving than having a father in the home. If you don't have this, it's worse than living without a father or a mother in your home. If you do have it, you can surmount any challenge, any. Today, we're learning about the indispensable father. Not simply a father, but the Father, God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. We're learning about the highest privilege that any human being can experience on planet Earth. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you should remember if you forget everything else, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Being a child of the Father is the highest of all privileges. We're looking today at three reasons why we desperately, all of us, need the Father. The first one is there on your outline, number one. We're lifeless without Him. You know, when you hear of your friends just having a child born into their home, your heart, it leaps for joy. You want to see the baby. You want to congratulate the parents. We've had several new babies here at Stony and several more on the way. All these COVID babies, right? But on the other hand, when you hear that a child was stillborn, that is so heartbreaking. Your heart breaks. It goes out to the parents. An unthinkable nightmare. And yet, I was stillborn. I was born dead. Did you know that? And guess what? So were you. You may not know it, but you were. Not physically, but spiritually. See, to be spiritually dead means you have no relationship with God. You're separated from Him. You came into this world kicking and crying and screaming, brimming with life. Your parents cradled you and cuddled you and marveled over every whimper, and rightly so. But spiritually, you were stillborn. All of us were. It's our natural state. And we grew up this way, physically alive, but spiritually dead, separated from God. You say, Randy, that sounds kind of strange. I never heard anything like that. Can you prove that? Well, yeah, I can, actually. I'm glad you asked. If you look in the scriptures, God's holy word in Ephesians chapter 2, it's talking about the BC life of a Jesus follower, the before Christ life of a Jesus follower. Look at what it says, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. Once you were dead, underline that. You were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey. Help me. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Spiritual deadness. It's our natural state. It's our fallen state. We are lifeless without the Father, dead in our rebellion and sinfulness. You say, but that doesn't seem to jive with my experience. I don't feel dead. I've never felt dead. On the contrary, I feel very much alive. And I've gone to church, and I'm a good person, and I believe in God. Well, let me ask you. Does a corpse know that it's dead? If you asked it, what would it say? Would it say, are you dead? You say, are you dead? What would it say? Of course, it'd say nothing. It can't hear you. It's cut off. It doesn't know. I didn't know I was dead until the Father gave me life. I went to church. I knew about God. I said I believed in God. But I didn't know God. I didn't know I was dead until the Father gave me life. It's called, in the Bible, being born again. Let's read about it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Note that it's God the Father who gives you new life, new birth, second birth. In order to come alive spiritually, you must be born a second time. It's a necessity. In order to come alive, you have to have it spiritually. Your first birth gave you physical life. But your second birth gives you spiritual life. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's impossible. We've all been born once, but have you been born a second time? Have you been born again? Perhaps you say, well, I'm not sure. If I was, would I know it? Oh, yes. You'd know it. just as a newborn baby instinctively knows how to breathe, how to cry, how to feed. It happens the moment you turn from your dead life, your life of sin and separation from God, to Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross and arose from the dead. Suddenly, when you do that, you are infused with new life. The Bible says you become a new person in Christ. New life pulsates through you. The Bible says you become a new person, and it's all because of the Father, God the Father, who gives you this second birth. Let's look at the second reason. We all desperately need the Father. Number two on your outline, we're orphans without Him. Orphans. Maybe you were once an orphan until some loving people adopted you into their home. We have several former orphans here at Stony Creek Church. Adoption, oh, adoption. It's the supreme kindness. It takes a child that has lost its parents and gives that child new parents that will love and raise that child as if he were their own natural child. It is a godlike act. You know why? Because it echoes what the Father does for us. You see, we are all naturally spiritual orphans. Look carefully at this verse, the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It says, "When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom." We're going to talk about that in a minute here. "To buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children." There it is, adoption. Now, what did adoption involve back then? We're familiar with what it involves today. But what was it like back in the days of the apostles, back in the first century? It was different. Let's say that you were a slave being sold in the slave market in the middle of town. There you stand naked. It's not like what you see in the movies or in illustrations of this. You'd stand there naked so they could get a good look at you. And you're being auctioned off to the highest bidder. But among those bidders stands a kindly, well-to-do man. And he and his wife are childless. And so he decides to buy your freedom and adopt you. This happened. Unlike today, there's some differences. Adoption back then, and this is on your outline, involved grown-up children most of the time, not babies. Today it's the other way around. Back then, it was mostly grown-up children or even adults that got adopted. If parents didn't want a baby because the baby was maybe handicapped in some way or was the wrong gender, they'd just throw it on the garbage pile. This is very common, very common. It was the Christians who were the first pro-lifers who went out and rescued those children. And when you were adopted, you became legally connected to a new father. That was the key. A new father, and of course a new family, and you were no longer a slave. And that meant that all your debts from your previous life were wiped out. All your old obligations, you may have had many, they were canceled. They were paid by your new father. Now, this is the kind of imagery that's in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he's writing the words that we've been reading. In the case of you as a Christ follower, God the Father paid for your adoption. Not merely with money, gold or silver or anything like that, but with the life of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son in human flesh, died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. A substitute. He was buried and then he rose from the dead. That was the price that he paid to free you, to bring you out of the slave market. If you're born again, the Father has adopted you. In those days, when you were adopted, you suddenly received new rights that the law recognized for you. And among those new rights is that you had the right to call the man that adopted you father. This was considered a great privilege. He's no longer a master. He's father. And this is the same is true of the born-again adopted child of God. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, because we are his children, his adopted children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. There it is. This is what Paul is talking about here. We now have this right to call him Father. Abba, Abba. Abba is not just a rock band from the 1970s. It's an Aramaic word that means papa. This is the way Jesus would pray, and the reason they put Abba here and then Father, Paul's writing in Greek, but Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and so he's repeating the word that Jesus said, the exact word, the Aramaic word, and often the Christians in those days would pray that word, that Aramaic word, or you could use the Greek word, which was pater, or our word, Father, right? It's all the same. It's the idea. When you cry out to the Father, guess what? It's not you praying. That's what that verse says. It says God, the Father, has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to cry out, Abba, Father. That is a supernatural prayer. The Spirit of God is praying through you. When you pray that prayer, you dads, you hear your child cry out in distress. Can you resist that? No, you can't. Wild horses can keep you away. Your heart goes out to your kid. You have to respond. Or when you drive up in the driveway and your kid comes out of the house and saying, Daddy, 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 it melts your heart. That's your child. Well, how much more? How much more your heavenly Father? When you cry out to him, Abba, Father, he can't resist. Use the language of your adoption. Abba, Father, do you pray to the Father? That is a Spirit-inspired prayer. Use it. Use the language of your adoption. You say, but you know, sometimes I actually struggle with doubts, wondering if I'm truly a child of God. Well, I'd like you to note this verse. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. See, back then in New Testament days, your adoption ceremony had to be witnessed. It had to be witnessed by seven witnesses. So that in case in the future there was any dispute about your adoption, maybe inheritance or some sort of a dispute, maybe if the father died or something like that, these witnesses could step forward and testify to the genuineness of your adoption. Those witnesses would do that. It was a legal thing. It was part of the proceeding. Well, guess what? Paul, with that in mind, and the people to whom he's writing, says that there's a witness who steps forward to testify to your adoption. In case there's any question, in case the devil or someone or something or your own mind tells you, I don't think you're really saved. I don't think you're really a child of God. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit who steps forward. He's the witness who testifies to your adoption. This is called the inner witness of the Spirit. This is what it's been come to be called. Do you sense it? Do you sense the inner witness of the Spirit testifying, saying to you, you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your ally. He sticks up for you when you're accused. He will prompt you to inwardly call upon the Father, Abba, Abba. The Father can't resist that cry. Give into it. Become accustomed to hollering it out. Let's try it. Father, Father, Father. Oh, doesn't that feel good? That's the Holy Spirit within you crying out. Have you been born again? Have you been adopted? If not, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the Lord Jesus to save you. Cry out to him. Tell him you believe Jesus paid the price for your salvation. You believe that he was raised from the dead. Tell him that you repent. Tell him you want to be his child. He'll adopt you. No doubt about it. Let's look at the third reason why we desperately need the Father. We have no inheritance without him. None. Now, let's say back in those days you were adopted by a father who already had a natural son, older than you. Where do you stand in the family? Well, according to Roman law, even if the father had a natural son, you, as the adopted child, became a legal heir to the father's property, a co-heir with the natural son. In fact, back in those days, adopted sons were often preferred over the natural son. If you can believe that, it sounds strange, but that's the way it was. Well, guess what? The father has a natural son. God the Son. In fact, he's been a son for all eternity, way before any of us. We know him by his human name, Jesus Christ. But as the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, he had no beginning. Just like the Holy Spirit, just like God the Father. He's the one who died to make you his brother. To make you a sibling. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Please keep that verse up there for a few moments, Bob. This is astounding. This is incredible. If you're an adopted child of God, you become an heir, a co-heir right along with the natural, eternal, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound unfair? Kind of does to me. I mean, think about it. Jesus, who's been God's Son for all eternity, we're a bunch of Johnny-come-latelys. And not only that, but we were slaves that nailed him to the cross with our sins, spit in his face. We're rebels. Actually, it is unfair. The Bible calls it undeserved kindness. In a word, grace. Grace. And Jesus, in case you're wondering, is all in favor of it. In fact, he voluntarily laid down his life for us so that by dying we could be free. We could be bought out of the slave market. We could become his siblings. He loves you. He loves you as a brother. But notice, we inherit two things according to this verse: the glory along with the Son, and also his sufferings. Look at that carefully. We share in his sufferings. You know, as you follow Jesus in this life, you inherit his shame and ridicule and suffering, the misunderstanding from people who are not adopted, not born again, people that don't know the Lord. Same thing he experienced. Look what he says in John chapter 15, verse 20. The words of Jesus himself: remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Living as God's adopted child is no walk in the park. It's a life of carrying the cross. It's a life of obedience to God. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life of serving others. Serving them before yourself. But we also, like the eternal Son of God, inherit eternal glory with the Father. Have you been born again? Have you been adopted by the Father? Are you a co-heir with God's only begotten Son, Jesus? Being a child of God the Father is the highest privilege that any human being can experience, being adopted by him. If you've never been born again, if you've never been adopted, all you need to do is surrender. Surrender to him. It's called repentance. You cry out to him and say, I don't want to live in rebellion anymore. I turn my back on my sins, and I turn to you, to Jesus who died for me and rose from the dead. I believe in him. I trust in him. I rely on him. When that happens, he saves you. He makes you his child. You are born again. You're infused with his life. Today can be your day of second birth. Your adoption day. What a perfect day for it. Father's Day. You get adopted on Father's Day. Wouldn't that be great? It will alter your life, though. Be careful. It will alter your life and your eternity. So it's not a decision to make lightly. Become his child. Let me just wrap up by giving you all of us, some suggestions to make the most of your Father's Day. These are there on your outline. If you're not close with your dad, take the initiative to forgive and or to show kindness to your father if he's still living. If you're a dad who's not close to your kids, you take the initiative. You make the call. If you're not in the habit of praying in the spirit of the Son to the Father, if you're not in the habit of praying Father, Abba, Father, start. That's the prayer prompted by the Spirit of God himself. Start today. If you're alienated from the Father, become his child. Become his child today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up and lead us in a closing praise song. Well, it's not actually a closing song. It's our communion song for today. We're going to have a prayer here in just a moment, and we're going to share the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask the elders to distribute the elements in just a moment. God the Son, He gave His life for you on the cross. You become the Father's child by receiving Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper to commemorate this, to celebrate this, to reflect on this, because it vividly pictures this transaction. This transaction. You see, when you take these elements, the bread and the juice, into yourself, what you're saying is, I have received Jesus and what He did for me. I'm receiving Him into myself. His death was my death. His new life is my new life. And this is a commemoration of that. This is a celebration of that. And so, as the elements are passed, just take it. It's all in one, because we're still using the sealed containers. The bread and the juice are all contained in this one packet that you'll get. As it comes around, the Lord invites you to participate in this celebration. That is, if you've repented and received Christ as your Lord and Savior. So don't make a statement about yourself that isn't true. If you've never been adopted, if you've never been born again, if you're a believer and you're living in disobedience, maybe there's someone you're refusing to forgive, or you're living in adultery or fornication or some other form of active obedience, then don't partake. The Bible says you're eating and drinking judgment to yourself if you do that. And I don't want to be doing your funeral anytime soon. No way. So just let it pass. But better yet, if you turn your back on your sin, if you repent today and embrace Christ as Lord and Savior, He welcomes you. He welcomes you to the table. Let's pray, and then we're going to have the elements distributed, and we're going to hold on to them while we sing together, okay? So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus, who died for us and rose from the dead. Because of Him, we have the privilege of calling you Father, of calling on the name of the Lord. And Father, as we partake of these elements, we want to do so to celebrate, to thank you for Jesus' broken body and poured out blood. May we truly do this in remembrance of Him. And Father, for any person who's here today who doesn't know the Father, who's never trusted in Him to be born again, to be adopted, I pray that person would say right now, Lord, I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. Save me today. Save me. Adopt me. Give me new life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.